The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into today's edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Shaka Hislop and Ali Moreno. We kick things off in the Europa League in Turkey. Galatasaray in action against Barcelona. Remember, this was goalless in the Camp Nou in the first leg. We had some goals in this game. It'd be Galatasaray would open the scoring, but soon Pedri would equalise. And then Aubameyang with what proved to be the key goal 4 minutes into the second half. Enough to see Barcelona win 2-1 on aggregate and book a place in the quarterfinals. For more on this, let's welcome the very warm and cosy and happy to be outside, Pablo Zabaleta is with us. Pablo, Barca proving they were the better team in the end in the second half.
Absolutely. It was a really solid and strong performance from Barcelona that second half to secure and go through into the next round. I mean, we have seen a massive improvement of that team over the last few games. Xavi, I think, is doing a great job. He brought into that team that Barcelona kind of way of playing, you know, and controlling the ball, attacking all the time, scoring goals. And if they were more clinical today, they probably should have scored a few more goals. So at the moment, they're playing really good football.
You weren't sure about Pedri, Ali? He's proven you wrong.
Yeah, okay. Look, he is my favorite teenage player in the world.
Wait, your boy's a teenager. Your son, yeah. Ali Jr., is a teenager.
Doesn't matter, Pedri, I like him better.
Take that.
That's right. When I see him home tonight, I'll tell him I like Pedri better than I like you. Look, the truth of the matter is that I see Pedri in that sequence of the goal, and it's all you need to know about him as a player. In a sequence in which everybody's moving at a high speed, everybody's freaking out, everybody's is in a tight area, he is the one player on the field with that sort of calmness, that fly-by defending, another fly-by defending, and he's just able to, a little dip with the shoulder, a little touch, patience in the tightest of circumstances with everybody yelling and screaming, all the pressure, you're already losing 1-0, and he puts it away in the manner in which he did. It tells you, again, everything that you need to know, the level of confidence with which he's playing and the level of performances that he's putting in every time he steps on the field.
You have a teenage son, Shaka. Who do you prefer?
I prefer Pedri, too.
Yeah!
sorry about that, son, but Pedri's coming.
Don't apologize.
Over. Yeah, leave some dinner on for Pedri. This was a Barcelona. I spoke about, after the first leg, how poor Barca were against Galatasaray. Xavi made changes. I don't think there was anything good about that performance. And I wanted to see how the team would respond days before the Clásico. And Xavi makes the change. And I thought, despite how long it took for the opening goal and even going behind, I never felt Barca were the lesser of these two teams. And it showed. Their football, their finishing, their movement, it could have been so much more. Torres hit the crossbar. It really was a performance as we'd come to expect of Barcelona. It was everything that the first leg was not. And Galatasaray had to go out to the superior team.
We did question, didn't we, the signing of Aubameyang and whether or not he could turn it on once again, Pablo, after a poor season at Arsenal. He's done that, hasn't he? That's 7 goals now in his last 10 matches.
I think Barcelona did a really good business in January. They brought a few players, especially up front. Xavi was saying this in one of the press conference in January. He needed players to bring some pace into the team. He makes runs in behind. And I think with Traore, Aubameyang, Ferran Torres, he got this front three who looks so dangerous. And especially Dembélé as well, that he looks very focused now. I know his contract is we finish at the end of the season, but it looks like, you know, good professional, giving 100% for the team, really committed, and that's why we have seen the Barcelona is banging every single game now. It's just they're a threat going forward, and I think Xavi's very pleased with this.
I was speaking to you before. I was impressed with the old De Jong assist.
Oh. The old, the young. Well, yes, it's
they
a good
the
look.
They had the graphic up. They missed my header.
Nobody missed that header.
Hold on. Can you please do your header?
No. I've done it once. No, I'm not doing it again.
I want to see it.
I'm not doing it just
the anymore. The people want to see
not
it.
Just doing no, it.
Come on.
The De Jong.
Okay.
Nobody wanted to see that.
It's a great look from Frankie de Jong, but I think more importantly what it tells you is his willingness to be an option inside the 18-yard box. He is a far more dangerous player when he's able and willing to run into those sort of spaces, because then you have Aubameyang, then you have Frankie de Jong, you have Pedri trailing the play. So because you have those many options inside the 18-yard box, then it's more difficult to defend. And so if you can jump on a rebound, then Aubameyang pops open, and now it's 2-1. I thought that the Xavi decision to essentially make the substitution right at halftime in bringing Dembele on, recognizing that Adama Traore sometimes tends to be a very one-dimensional player. And when it's not working, it's clear to see that it's not working. He didn't hesitate. The team needed something different, brought on Dembele, and he made a difference as well.
So they are in the draw for the quarterfinals of the Europa League, which is tomorrow. Eight. I assume. And the Champions League draw, of course, as well. We'll be reflecting on both of those on the next edition of the show. So be sure to join us.
Bienvenidos al clásico más importante del mundo.
El Clásico, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Sunday on ESPN+.
So the Clásico this weekend on Sunday, live here on ESPN+, Real Madrid against Barcelona. Of course, regards to the title race, it doesn't really make too much of a difference, but it's all about pride, isn't it, when these two teams met. And Pablo, how Barcelona are such a different side to the one that, of course, faced Real Madrid earlier on in the season at the Camp Nou?
Yeah, a lot different. As we spoke before, this Barcelona side in the last few games been playing really good football, and I think they have that confidence to play in the way that Xavi wants that team to play football, everyone individually in a good moment. Probably defensively they really need to be, you know, focused on those counter-attacking, because especially Real Madrid is a team that likes to play this in this way as well. So, you know, it's good to attack, to bring a lot of players forward, but I think defensively you also need to be aware of these three or four players who can actually make runs in behind and they can hurt you. But I think the whole team looks with confidence, and that's a good news for Barcelona.
Obviously, Pablo, you look at it, Real Madrid are going to win the title. Given that, will Barcelona be more motivated than Real Madrid going into this tie because they want to really prove a point?
This is one of the biggest games that, I mean, as a Barcelona-Real Madrid player, you want to play. I know the gap is too big between the two teams in La Liga at the moment, but I think as a Barcelona player, you want to go to the Bernabeu and put in a good performance, say, that's the kind of game that I want to play and win. So I think, you know, it's something that you make your fans proud. As a player also, it's always a special game to play a derby like that. So I think they will try to go on Bernabeu on Sunday and give 100% and win the game.
Before we go and let you warm up, Pablo, I think I know where he is. Are you in Plaza Santa Ana?
Oh,
Pablo.
Hello.
Yes.
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 Now, I think if you so. Just go
I don't
down
know.
By the theater,
I don't know Madrid as you.
Yeah.
I don't know Madrid as good as you, Dan.
Down to the theatre. Turn right.
Yeah, really
turn
good place.
Left. About 500 meter walk.
Okay.
Shares karaoke laser bar. Ah! That's where you want to go, Pablo, tonight. That is it.
There he is.
I need you guys. I need you guys there for that. I need you guys.
Pablo, thank you very much. Just a reminder, there will be a special La Liga preview show tomorrow. Kay knows that bar. The boss really hated it and would never let us sing. Ask her about it. Anyway, Kay will be presenting our Glasgow preview special
what?
Tomorrow. Be sure to check it out.
passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Let's return to the Europa League. Of course, we saw some big results on Thursday. Atalanta turning it around against Bayer Leverkusen to book a place in the quarterfinals. But should we focus on your old team, Shaq?
So we should.
As Hammer of the Year. West Ham then advancing late. Mm-hmm. Yarmolenko scoring in extra time to see West Ham through to the quarterfinals. Julian Laurent joins us. Jules, what a story, what a reaction, not just from the players, but the fans, of course, given Yarmolenko's Ukrainian heritage.
Yeah, that's right, Dan. I mean, this is going to be a game that all West Ham fans will remember for a very long time now. One of the biggest games in the club's history, because it's in Europe, because it's against Sevilla, who, okay, are not really good at the moment. They're struggling away from home. But it's still Sevilla, second in La Liga, a team that has won this competition, well, the Europa League, you know, like a lot of times, I think, was five or six times. So for West Ham to beat them over the two legs, for Yarmolenko, one incredible story. Yeah. Who could not play football, could not focus on his game because of what happens to his people back in Ukraine, to his family, and found the strength in the last two games to not just play but also score. It's just an incredible story, and again, one for the ages.
That reaction, Shaq, when he scored was incredible.
With everything, and Jules is right to point to so much of the backstory to Yarmolenko, Ukraine, everything that's going on. Sevilla's history in the competition, West Ham, who aren't in the greatest of form themselves, yet find that kind of a performance, especially after the first leg, where I thought Sevilla were clearly better. I thought, though West Ham know their luck, they were the better of the two teams in this one as well. Probably deserved to go throughout the 90, but then the drama of being in the 112th minute, the drama of Yarmolenko and everything that meant, it was a big night for West Ham.
This is Sevilla's competition. This isn't supposed to happen.
It's not. But West Ham were fortunate in the sense that they're playing Sevilla when Sevilla is trending in the wrong direction. All the good things that they had done early on in the season, all the good things that were happening in games for them have now turned around. All that good fortune that they had now is gone in the opposite direction. And now they have injuries and they still have the same issue that they had early on in the season. They couldn't score goals then, but they were winning games 1-0. Now they can score goals. And because of it, they're out. It's simple as that. Sevilla is a team that has so many difficulties creating opportunities, and the few opportunities they do create, they cannot put away. They're leaning on players like Rafa Mil and Nesiri, so on and so forth. These guys are simply not good enough, not consistent enough. It's not a surprise because of what Sevilla has been over the last couple of weeks. They just haven't been a good team.
Meanwhile, in the Premier League, what an ending to Everton against Newcastle. It looked like this would finish goalless, but then Alex Iwobi in the 99th minute scoring the only goal of the game, which gives Everton all 3 points, and how significant that could prove to be in their battle for safety. They are 3 points clear then of Watford in 18th. Julian Laurent with us. Jules, this of course such a key victory for Frank Lampard's side.
Oh, massive for them, and we had so much added time because obviously of the protester who came on the pitch and tied himself up to the post, and I think they needed like three or four people to just cut the zip wire, if you want, that he put around his neck and the post, which is again something incredible to add to all the drama of this late goal by Iwobi at this time of the season, considering Everton had been losing four in a row before that. It's just, again, it's one of the games that we will always remember, and that Everton fans, especially the ones who were good this Ferguson will remember for a very long time, and he will be who cost them so much money, who never really delivered. This might be the goal that keep them up. And for Frank Lampard, what a huge relief this is. They didn't play well at all for a lot of the game. Newcastle were actually the better side, but the only thing that matters is those 3 points. And as you said, now they're 3 points ahead of the bottom three with two games in hand, and they breathe a little bit better.
How different training will be tomorrow, Shaq, walking in there than it would have been even if it was just 0-0?
Without a question of a doubt. And listen, from a Newcastle perspective, you were there not so long ago, put together a decent run of results, and that's exactly what Everton are hoping to do now. This is a big result, and it makes a huge difference. Oftentimes, these kind of pushes to stay up are born out of just one result, just one break in luck. That you get, whatever that may be, however it may come. And you're right, it changes everybody's attitude in the training ground tomorrow. It changes everybody's attitude in the dressing rooms before games on the weekend. And now we'll see what Everton has in store.
Everton good, Jules?
I still worry, I have to say. I'm still not convinced by Frank Lampard turning things around, but this game tonight, they had to win it anyway, whatever the goal would come, anything. And they have that now. They've got the FA Cup at the weekend, which is a bit of a breather, especially if they can go to Palace and win. And then you look a bit more forward to the next Premier League game on the back of potentially two decent results, a good result, but huge, huge win for him. And you could see how much it meant to him after the game.
Thank you very much, Jules. More from Jules available in the latest edition of the Gab and Jules podcast, which is available over on our website. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Here it is then, Thursday, time for some nonsense.
What? Dan, this might come as some surprise, but I think this is my best work yet.
Really?
Yeah.
It is a surprise, Chad.
It is. Let me tell you something. Where you want to start? Well, the top four have just kind of been tussling with each other. Chelsea are back in. Chelsea in a decent run, which surprised me a little bit.
You're trying to convince yourself, Chad.
No.
No, not at all. Didn't Bayern draw at the weekend?
Yeah. Bayern were second last week, so they dropped. They dropped a couple of spots.
Right.
Well, no, they actually dropped one spot.
They dropped one spot.
Right.
But City well drew done, as well. Chef. But listen, you can't argue. Those are the best four clubs in world football.
Liverpool better than Real Madrid, though, aren't they?
Huh?
Liverpool.
Yeah, but I got Real. Real got a boost from beating PSG. They got brownie points.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. And they got Liverpool didn't get brownie points for beating Arsenal.
Well, they got some brownie points, but I thought PSG in the Champions League was a bigger scalp. And they just lost to Inter, even though they went through. Oh. I know you're going to go all that. Oh, but they went through. I know what you're like.
What?
What was that again?
That sounds like that. Oh, they lost, but they went through.
My hands are definitely not that big.
I know what you're going to come with. What else?
Yeah, tell me about Trabzonspor.
Huh?
Yes,
they're
exactly.
Top in Turkey. They've lost once this season.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did you just find that out?
No.
Why Leipzig there and Dortmund aren't?
Because Leipzig threw in Europe and Dortmund got
West
knocked out by...
West Ham in Europe.
Yeah, but I don't want to show too much favouritism.
Leipzig got through, they didn't have to play.
Can't put through everybody who's in Europe.
Leipzig didn't play.
Yes.
Well, they're through. They're through. That's all I said. Dortmund got knocked out from Rangers. Can't be in my poor rankings after getting knocked out from Rangers.
This is crazy.
Jules.
So you don't play and yet you're through, so you are in the top 10. You draw, the more you draw, the highest you are, clearly. I mean, City have lost 7 points in the Premier League in the last 9 games, and yet they're still in the top three. They dropped 2 points at Palace, they're still in the top three. I mean, clearly the message here, draw, and Shaka will put you very high in the power rankings.
Yeah, it seems to be loud and clear, Shaka.
Well, look, City were first last week. They draw, they drop down, they're still top of the league. They're still top of the league. They're still among the favourites to win the Champions League. They're third.
Shaka, I don't think you even know your own power rankings.
Yeah, I do. This is the data.
Where are Villarreal?
Huh?
Where are Villarreal?
They went through.
Where are Atletico Madrid?
They went through.
Listen, I can't put every single club who's through.
You put Leipzig through. They didn't even play.
At least those teams play, Shaq.
Yes, Leipzig are in.
Shaka, you cannot start off this segment by saying this is one of my best months ever and deliver that nonsense.
That was good.
My crikey. Right, that's it. Just a reminder, Extra Time is with you over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to check that out. We've got a lot of questions today, boys.
Okay.
Too many.
I'm only doing half.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That is it.
Oh,
what's going on? That brings us to the end of today's show, though. Be sure to stay tuned. Jules is back to answer your questions. A lot of questions about Shaka once again appearing in a viral video, having to go at PSG and Neymar. What's your problem, Shaka? Why do you hate them so much?
Hater.
We'll be talking about that.
Hater. Next.
Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you for your tweets. Ali and Shaka here in the studio. Julien Laurent joins us as well. Shaka, once again, has featured in a documentary being mean to Neymar, and that is the subject of our...
I was not mean to Neymar.
Wow.
Shaka, ever.
What does it feel being PSG's number one critic? You are now infamous in Paris and appear everywhere alongside Neymar, PSG's name. Has Jules watched the RMC short film? If you haven't seen this, I did tweet it out, a clip of Shaka having to go at PSG. What's the significance of this film? Who's RMC, Jules?
RMC are the French channel who have the rights for the Champions League and the Europa League. They also have the Premier League rights. And what they do after every French game in the Champions League, not that it will happen again, but all the big games, they find all the footage they have from the tunnel, from on the pitch, especially when you can hear the players talking, maybe the manager, and they put like a movie of the game together. And sometimes they edit it as well with what very clever and insightful pundits like Shaka Hislop think about the game, you know, to make it even better, really. And that's clearly was the case this time, or not.
Shaka narrating PSG's demise.
Wow.
I think I'll offer them my power rankings.
Who are you meaner to, PSG or Neymar?
I wasn't mean to either.
Well, you were. You and that Neymar documentary made him very angry.
No, I was. Well,
made him do a
whole, that doesn't mean I was mean.
He made him do a whole Spike documentary.
Yeah. Because he decides to do a Netflix documentary. I wasn't mean. I was just honest.
Oh.
You're on the cutting edge of criticism.
I know.
There was no cutting edge about my criticism at all.
Well, wow. Apparently that's not what the people are saying, Shaq.
Have you received any abuse because of it?
I don't know.
Out of all the pundits who are making fun of Barca's January signings, only Ali has lauded it all that time. his assessment of Barca has been spot on for all these times, apart from his assessment on Busquets.
So that was the backhander comment.
I'm
here for that part.
I didn't want it all to be lovey-dovey. How does he feel of Busquets under Xavi now?
Well, he has played better under Xavi.
So you were wrong?
According to this gentleman, yes.
What about to yourself?
According to myself, when I was making that assessment, Busquets was having difficulties moving around the field. And he still is.
This is right, you can never admit these.
Physically.
Yeah, that's right.
Physically, still can't quite compete. However, if Barcelona are controlling the possession and he's not having to chase in transition defensively, Busquets, as we saw today, can manage the pace of the game as well as anybody else in the world, if not better.
That is the most pleasant wrong. I'll admit I'm wrong, but I'm not wrong.
I thought that was never honest. Not quite cutting edge like your analysis, but it was honest.
When's the last time in Casa Morena you've admitted that you're wrong?
What?
Define wrong.
Goodness me.
With Haaland now reported to join either Real Madrid or Manchester City, should Barcelona look to sign a striker in the summer or spend the money on the defence and rely on Aubameyang and Torres for next season? Ali, with Barcelona ways?
I think you have in Ronald Araujo an answer for the future. I don't think you have that with Eric Garcia, and Gerard Piqué is not going to last forever. And so I think priority number one for Barcelona, although I don't think it's going to be, I would suggest that you focus on making sure that you assess what you got going on in the back line. You also have to assess what's the future of Dani Alves in Barcelona. We didn't think he was going to have the role that he's having now. Sergiño Dest is the answer long term. You have to address those issues in the back line for Barcelona before I think you go and spend all this chunk of money on one single player. There are other areas of the field that you have to be able to manage.
Xhaka, how long do you think before Newcastle push their way into the top four? Is the foregone conclusion that they will follow Chelsea and City to success?
Before Newcastle make a serious push to the top four, I'm going to say it's going to be another 3 years.
Right.
I still think it takes not just signings, not just money, but a culture around the football club that I think is still growing within Newcastle.
I have a question for you, Shaq. When you go serious on your assessment, like you just did in your analysis, is part of that seriousness, is it a requisite for you to pull your arms?
Yeah.
Is that what you do when you talk about Neymar?
Because it goes to freedom of Newcastle.
I'm not at all mean about Neymar.
Why does everyone on the panel, Jules, not give Chelsea their due? I remember last Champions League campaign where every pundit thought Chelsea would lose to almost every team they played. Yeah, Jules.
Oh, wow.
Well, I don't remember this. I said that they would win the final, and they did. But we didn't. What, before the Lille game, we said they would not qualify. Even before the group stage, we said they would not go through. I don't think so. I think, you know, they have disappointed us a little bit in the league, because I mean, certainly I thought they would be far closer, you know, for the title race to compete with City and Liverpool. I even said after the Lukaku signing that they were my favourite to win the whole thing. So I don't think this is fair. I don't think this is true.
If VAR made competent decisions regarding City penalty against Wolves and Everton and Liverpool versus Spurs, which were ridiculed by ESPN panel, then Liverpool would potentially, capital letters, be 5 points clear at the top. Liverpool's top three goal scorers and assists and better goal difference. Tell me who's the best team.
What? That's a lot.
What is the question?
This person is suggesting that VAR has favoured Manchester City, yet we all sit here and say that City are the better team. But look, if VAR did its job properly, then City would be 5 points behind Liverpool.
Absolutely right. Listen, if VAR didn't make those mistakes, Liverpool would be ahead of City.
That's all nonsense, Shank.
But to those... Wait, hold on.
Fold your arms.
Just calm down, will you? Hey. if those examples hold true, yes, the math suggests that Liverpool would be ahead of City. But over the course of a 38-game league season, you feel that everybody gets a little bit of a benefit from time to time. And so you stand by what the league table is. Even with VAR, after 38 games, the table doesn't lie. Or 29, as the case. What, 29 now?
Well, and here's the thing. If you're a Liverpool fan, a Liverpool player, you're involved with Liverpool in any way possible, you now have an opportunity to right all the wrongs. It's right there in front of you.
But they wouldn't have to right the wrongs if the wrongs weren't righted wrong in the first place.
Okay. What?
Here's the other thing I would say is, if you have to go in a full-on explanation as to what your question is going to be, then we have an issue. Just ask your question. Okay?
I like it. It's Mohawk Mike, though.
Well, Mohawk Mike, just ask the question that you want to ask. Don't set it up with a whole storyline.
Jules, did you ever have a mohawk? I reckon Jules had long hair. Definitely had a ponytail.
Not a chance.
Jules had a ponytail.
Not a chance.
No mohawk.
Yeah? You had a ponytail?
No mohawk, sorry.
Did you have a man bun, Jules?
No ponytail, but long hair, and I did the David Beckham when I was going out in nightclubs in Paris. I used to do the David Beckham hair when he was in Madrid.
Oh.
That was cool. That was really popular as well.
Wow.
That was popular.
That was cool.
I was cool.
I was cool.
That was really cool.
Wow.
He was cool.
Listen,
that would have been very
cool.
No, to see.
That Jules, was not cool.
Jules out clubbing.
Unless you're David Beckham, that wasn't cool. And even then, it was a push.
For Shaka,
that was cool. You said that because you're jealous because you can't do it yourself. And
no,
same
no.
with Ali. Ali's got no hair left.
I can work some magic with this bonnet. Let me tell you.
What can you do with that, Shaka?
Nothing.
You've just told us you had the same haircut for 25 years.
Yes.
And you need
because
a haircut.
Because it's cool. It was cool then.
Oh dear. For Shaka, is Alisson the most complete modern goalkeeper in the world currently? He's good at shot stopping, excellent at sweeping, can play out from the back, and looks unbeatable 1v1. Is he the undisputed number one?
Is this Alisson's agent? Once again, to Ali's point, this is a long old question.
It's Mohawk Mike again.
Is he the best goalkeeper in the world?
He is. Always in the conversation. I think.
Answer the question.
Hold on a second. But we've been having this conversation all season long. At times this season, Mendy has been. I've said Mendy's been better. Right now, Alisson is showing exactly how good he always is. But you judge him over the course of a season, not just what happened over the last couple of weeks or how important.
So
he
who's
was.
The best goalkeeper in the world?
Right now.
Yes. Don't.
There he is. Serious, Shaq.
Right now, if I'm picking one goalkeeper to play one game for all the marbles, I'm still picking Manuel Neuer.
Oh.
For all the marbles.
For all the marbles.
Best people.
One game.
Best people got time.
Huh? He's second.
Is he?
Oh.
Yeah.
So where's Alisson?
So Alisson is tied
second. Tied for second.
Here we go. Jules, you're a journalist.
Here we go.
Aggressive.
With questionable hairstyle choices.
Yeah. Aggressive.
Don't forget that. Questionable
hairstyle. Does that hairstyle have a name?
Don't forget.
What was it called, Jules? Did it have a name, that hairstyle?
I don't think so. I can't. So you know, it's when you put the ponytail like on, you know.
Yes, it's when he first signed for Real Madrid.
Yeah, I can't remember if he had a name. Yeah. Right. I can't remember.
Jules, you're a journalist. Can you get the story of Shaka's yacht figured out? Apparently, it's in Trinidad and Tobago, but no one knows for sure, and he keeps claiming it doesn't exist.
I will investigate for sure. Knowing Shaka, there might be something dodgy a bit behind it, you know, like that we need to investigate somewhere.
Yeah. Jules,
maybe Mrs. Hitchcock doesn't know about the boat because it's only for parties when he goes back. I mean, you know, yes. I would not bet against it for sure. So yeah, I'll happily investigate when I go to Trinidad and Tobago very soon.
Yeah, little boat ride to the Cayman Islands.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with good company as well.
Not this time of year.
No. Working against you.
Yeah, no.
Final question. Jules, if you're going to be invited to one birthday party this year, whose birthday are you attending?
Neymar, and I'm coming along.
Nay, you're definitely
invited. Well, I'm coming in. I'm going. Hey!
Nay or Messi?
Well, I was a bit disappointed not to be invited at Antonella's birthday, which was recently. I mean, to be fair, it was only the Fabregas and the Suarez family, so I can understand why my name was not on the list. Fair enough.
Yes.
I guess I'm not sure if Messi's parties are as crazy as Ney's.
No, they're boring.
But because I've done one, I have to do the other. So I can go to Messi and then tell you all about the dress code, who wore what, who danced on what, who was too drunk, you know, and you know, that could be cool.
It would just be Messi and Luis Suarez drinking. What are they called?
Mate.
Talking about VA.
And the dog.
If you're going to go to a party, it has to be Neymar.
We know someone who has a boat that could host it.
Yes, that could host that party, yes, and many other parties.
Yes. Almost as a, I'm sorry, Artie. That is it. ESPN FC returns to your screen tomorrow. Champions League draw tomorrow.
Oh, hello.
Oh, that'd be exciting. Real Madrid, Benfica, here we come.
What?